The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Waiting for Christmas. The youngsters struggle to wait for the big day for so many different reasons. It just can't come fast enough. For many adults, Christmas can't come soon enough for a whole different host of reasons. Let's sum that up by saying they're the ones who will be glad when it's all over with already and we can get back to the normal life without the stress, without the expectations, without the extra work, and so on. It's not any easier waiting for God's salvation. And often the patterns of expectancy of the Savior's return can run the spectrum similar to the way the expectations of Christmas play out. Some wait with eager expectation, hopeful, thoughtful, with perhaps even a bit of wistful longing, but others voice the advent, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," of the church with resignation bordering on contempt for this world and all of its expectations and extra work and stresses and so on. The sons of Korah would tell you that no matter where you find yourself on the spectrum of expectation of the Savior's return, those who wrote this wonderful psalm want you to be absolutely certain that the Savior's salvation is always near. It is never truly far away, always nearer than you and I could ever possibly expect at any given moment. We read again from verse 8 and following. "I will hear what the true God, the Lord, will say. He indeed speaks peace to his people, to his favored ones. But do not let them turn to foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near for those who fear him, so that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give good things, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness walks in front of him. It prepares the way for his footsteps." God's splendid saving gifts are poetically pictured for us in these verses. The harmony and the harvest in these verses is not agricultural, and it certainly isn't political. It's actually not of this earth at all. God has promised peace, and this is a picture of heaven, of God's people dwelling together there, all gathered in perfect eternal unity. His desire for us is peace. Here and now, and his salvation is always near. The sons of Korah anticipated these great blessings in a very similar way to the way we do during Advent. Keeping our eyes fixed on the perfection of heaven that is in front of us, not just promised to us, but made real in the living and dying and rising of Jesus Christ, plays an enormous role in keeping our perspective appropriate in living out our days as we wait for that salvation. Keeping our eyes fixed forward on the perfection of heaven plays an equally important role in keeping us from falling back into the sins that, along with the sons of Korah in the early verses of this psalm, we confessed and admitted caused God's righteous anger and indignation to be directed at us. Keeping our eyes fixed forward on the perfection of heaven to come continually reminds us that our brokenness and sin, and the brokenness and sin of this limping, lousy world, will not be a reality in heaven. We will be free from all of that, every last bit of it. But what, according to the psalmist, makes this possible? He tells us, the Lord who is righteous and works righteousness, makes every preparation for the day, for that moment each one of us enters glory. He also prepares that moment in time when at Christ's return, time itself shall cease and every living thing will be released from its bondage to death and devil, despair and decay. The Christ has made every last preparation for the day of the Lord. His righteousness has joyfully paved the way, making it possible for the Lord to come and give us every good thing that he has promised us. Of course, the details of all that the Messiah had to do in order to accomplish for this are not offered here in this psalm. But you and I know well the struggle of the Christ child, the purpose for which he was born into this world, to endure and win the struggle for us. Humility and temptation were his constant companions every moment of his existence from conception until that voluntary death. Agony and abandonment were his realities, accompanied by a pain and a punishment for our sins so severe, so unrelenting that we quite literally cringe at the hearing of the reading of it from the Gospels during Lent. Here in these verses, remarkably, the psalmists present it as a delight, happy greetings, and even a kiss. But all of that was made a reality by the severe and unrelenting service of suffering, unlike anything ever required by any other living thing. And our Savior God did all of that for us willingly. No matter how bad things may get in our lives, now, no matter how desperately we may want pain or sadness or suffering to end, we are clearly reminded in the Scriptures that no one has ever seen the sufferings and the sorrow like his pain and suffering and sorrow. Yet in the middle of all his suffering, our brother Jesus knew that salvation was never far away. In fact, that was a pinnacle reality of his ministry, how he continually preached the kingdom of heaven is near. But more even specifically and practically, as he made the promises regarding his suffering and his death and his resurrection, he even time-framed exactly how near that salvation would always be to him. It was on his mind. It was his sustenance and consolation in those moments of suffering and persecution, abandonment and pain, that as he had said, it would be just 3 days, 3 days before he would rise again from the grave and know fully his exaltation and his glory once again in having accomplished the salvation promised. That was the very day that mercy and truth met and that righteousness and peace kissed each other. Waiting for Christmas? Waiting for Christ? Nothing is easy about either one because of the world in which we live, because of the natural sinfulness that lurks in our hearts and clings to our every thought, every word. But hang in there. The psalmists, the sons of Korah, remind us here that there are better days, infinitely better days ahead. And they will never end. Surely, surely, the Lord's salvation is near. Amen.